well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. And like always, what a blessing it is just being in church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, that's right after the book of 1 and 2 Kings, you find 1 and 2 Chronicles. The 1 and 2 Chronicles actually give us more insight into the kings of Israel and a fuller account of Judah. You'll find more of the kingdom of Judah presented in the Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you take all of them, all four books of the Kings and the Chronicles, and you'll get a good, have a good understanding of how God worked through the kings of Israel. And of course, Israel being God's chosen people, and they were to represent God to the world. And much like Christianity today, we are to represent Christ to the world. And so we learn much about God and how he deals in the lives of his people as we study the life of the nation of Israel during the kingdom years. And so 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Go ahead and stand with me. We're actually going to start reading in verse 20, the end of chapter 31, and then we're going to go right into chapter 32 and read down to verse 8. This all goes together here. So 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you made available to each one that's here. And then their decision to take advantage of their opportunity to be in church today. And I pray, God, that you would continue to meet with us as we have already sensed your presence in this place. And I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. I ask that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Under the preaching of the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah, king of Judah, leads the nation of Judah, the people, back to God. Now, in the nation of Israel, during the kingdom years, we find that there were no good kings. I mean, the kings just were not leading the people of God as they should have led them. By this time, Israel has already been taken into captivity by the Assyrians. The Assyrian army had grown, and God actually raised up Assyria to take Israel into captivity. And now they come up against Judah. Judah would only escape captivity because of a couple good kings. And one of those kings was Hezekiah. And if you read this, it's great reading to study this, but Hezekiah he feared God, had a desire to lead the people of God back to serving him the way that God commanded them to serve him. And so we find that was what was taking place. Hezekiah had been working very hard to turn things around in Judah and get the people back to worshiping God the way that God had established worship in Judah. And that's what we find in chapter 31 and verse 20 and verse 21. All this had been taking place, and Zedekiah had put his heart into it, the Bible says, and he did it with all his heart and prospered. And so we're thinking, praise the Lord. I mean, Judah is now looking back to God and living as God would have them. Surely there would be tremendous blessings on the nation of Judah. Well, right after that, in chapter 32 and verse 1, this was immediately after Hezekiah had got things back to where they needed to be. The Bible says, and after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came. He would come with 185,000 men of war. Now, you think back to this particular time in history, that is unreal, to have that kind of a army. And yet he had become that powerful. Assyria would have been the most powerful nation on earth during that time. They had the most powerful army on earth. They had already taken Israel into captivity. And now we find here that Sennacherib is the king of Assyria, and he is conquering all people. And he comes to Judah with 185,000 soldiers. Sennacherib would present great fear. He would present discouragement. He would present even depression in the lives of God's people. Hezekiah, on the other hand, had gotten his life right with God, had made sure that he had got Israel back to a right relationship with God. And so we find as Sennacherib would present these things to Israel, or Judah here, and Israel would be the same God's people. But we find here that Hezekiah would present God's message to overcome Sennacherib, and what Sennacherib would present to Judah. In chapter 32 in verse 7 and 8, this is what Hezekiah presents to overcome fear, to overcome discouragement, to overcome even the depression that many times comes upon us through the oppression of the enemy. We find here in chapter 32 in verse 7, he looks to the people and he says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed." That's exactly what Sennacherib had just presented to them. His coming with 185,000 soldiers, understanding what had been taking place around the other cities and nations. "Nor for all the multitude that is with him." Imagine a sea of soldiers, 185,000. And then he says, "For there be more with us than with him." I guarantee you, they didn't come close to having 185,000 soldiers. "With him is an arm of flesh. But with us," and this is why he's presenting to them, that that which is on their side is greater, for there be more with us. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now, I love this, because as we study Old Testament stories, they're more than just history. It's accurate history. This actually took place. But it presents to us biblical principles, and it presents to us who God is and how God works in our lives so that we might benefit from it today in a 21st century Christianity. What we need to understand is the potential for these things, the potential for fear, the potential for discouragement, and the potential for depression is always present, even to the children of God, and even in the 21st century. I find that the holiday seasons, this time of the year, going into the winter time, the cold weather, and then the holidays, I find there's more people fighting discouragement during this time than any other time of the year. I find that even Christians during this time seem to have an oppression that leads to a sense of depression. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. We're going to be studying a few here this morning, but sometimes I look at this, I know even in my life, I fight it myself because there's not as much daylight. You know, there's something about having more daylight. There's something about when you wake up and the sun is shining. Something about when you come to church, if it's the sun is shining outside, can I tell you, there's a different atmosphere. People have more smiles on their faces. Now, you have some that won't smile no matter what. Now, I don't gauge it by certain individuals, but as a whole, you'll find that if it is snowing outside or if it's raining outside, if it's overcast outside, if it's cold outside, then people are a little bit more apt to give in to discouragement and oppression, depression, and just a negativity. Opposed to when the sun's shining, and especially my wife, when it's hot outside. There's something about that. But the potential for discouragement is always there. Whether it be the weather, whether it be the cold, the sunshine, lack of, or if you will, the Sennacheribs in our lives. Now, the first thing we need to realize, it is never God's will for us to live a life of discouragement. It's never God's will for us to live a life of depression. I know some people say, well, I've been diagnosed with this and there's more to it. And there are chemical imbalances and there are certain health issues. I understand that. And you're going to have a greater tendency for depression. But God does not want you to live a life of depression. We know that because of what Hezekiah, as he is now walking close to God and leading the nation of Israel, he says to them after the Sennacherib comes into their lives, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed. Now that's a powerful message right there. And that's one that is echoed throughout the scriptures. Matter of fact, if you will, in the Deuteronomy chapter 31, let me just read it to you, but Deuteronomy, Moses was leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He led them up to the door of the promised land. God would not allow him to go into the promised land for reasons. But we find here that God worked through Moses in preparing the nation of Israel for the will of God of living in the promised land. And one of the last messages we find that Moses gave to the children of God was found in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, he says this: "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Because it's not God's will for you to go into the promised land and live a life of discouragement. It's not God's will for you to go into the promised land and live a life of depression. It is not God's will for you to go into the promised land and live a life filled with fear. Joshua was the one that would actually lead them to conquer the promised land. And we find in the book of Joshua, I love this because this is the same message that God had for his children. And can I tell you, it's a message that God has for us today. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, Joshua says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." He's telling them, "I want you to be strong. I want you to fight off discouragement." Fighting off discouragement is being courageous. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, but thou mayest, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage?" Do you see that continues as God led the leadership of his people to encourage the people, to direct the people to live lives of joy, to live lives of peace, to live a life of encouragement. "I command thee, be strong." If you will, "I command thee, be of good courage. I command thee, be not afraid. I command thee, neither be thou dismayed, overcome with oppression and depression in your lives. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." It's not God's will for us to live a life of discouragement. God's message is to for his children to live a life of rejoicing and thanksgiving. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. That's always. No matter what you're facing, no matter what Sennacherib might come into your life, listen to me, we are to live a life of rejoicing. And there are the blessings of God that if you look to them would lead you to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you have them. And the thing of it is, God wants you to have them. They're available to all humanity. If you look to him. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We are not, no matter what's going on, no matter winter time, no matter the holidays, no matter what kind of past experiences that takes you back to, no matter what's in your past, what's in your head, what's going on in your life, listen to me, God says, "It is not my will for you to live a life of discouragement. It is not my will for you to live a life of fear. It is not my will for you to live a life of depression. Look to me. be strong in me, in God. When you know who God is, listen to me, you can be strong in the Lord. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me as a born-again believer in this 21st century. Knowing those things will lead us to a life of rejoicing and thanksgiving. But the potential is always present because of Sennacherib's. Even when you're in church, even when you get the nation of Judah turned around, there'll be Sennacherib's. The Sennacherib's in New Testament Christianity, for us, the things that we battle, what we're warned against, the enemies, if you will, the three main enemies that we will fight, that we'll fight against, and that will try to lead us to discouragement and fear and depression. As we study the New Testament, we find the three of those are the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what the scriptures will teach us. The world was part of Sennacherib coming against Israel. The world, the definition of world, as we get it in the Bible, is that lost man and his philosophies. The world, and God so loved the world. He loved lost man. He loved all humanity. That he gave his only begotten son. He sent Jesus Christ. This time of the year, we celebrate the birth of Christ, the coming of the Messiah. He sent him to the lost world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's what we have to look to. God loved humanity, but as he refers to the world, he's talking about lost man and his humanistic philosophies and his humanistic ways of living. And understanding that, the world is not a friend of Christianity. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to allow the world to bring discouragement into your life. The world will continue to work opposite God's will for your life and lead you to fear and depression. The world. Jesus talked about that. John chapter 15. Everybody following me this morning? Stay with me. It's some good stuff here because it's something that it's a part of life that we live. And there's a potential for any one of us at any time to fall prey to discouragement and fear and depression. John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching his disciples, wanting them to understand this. He says in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Sometimes we're just trying to live the Christian life, and my goodness, we are persecuted by the philosophies of the world. "If ye were of the world, of the very same mindset of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake," Christianity, "because they know not him that sent me." Sometimes we have too high of expectations of the world that we live in. All we're trying to do is to help people to understand what sin is, help people to understand the results of sin, where it's going to ultimately lead an individual. all we're doing is trying to help people to know who God is and understand the Bible. And we find ourselves being persecuted because of it. Sennacherib came to make slaves out of God's children. You understand that? Sennacherib came to put an end to their worship of their God. And he came to take away the land that God had given to them, the blessings that God had given to them. Can I tell you, the old devil is working through the world today to do the same thing. If you're not careful, because of the world and things that happen in the world and the philosophies of the world, and it's going to lead us to discouragement. But we're to overcome the world. The book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The world is not the friend of Christianity. Although Christianity is to be in the world, but not of the world. God says, I want you to be the light of the world. I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be in the world, but not of the world. And when we try to do that, we think that it's going to bring the support of the world. And yet it does not bring the support of the world. When you're going opposite the world's philosophies and you're trying to help them to see the truth instead of being blinded by lost humanity. The Bible says here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're going to have battles with the world. We're going to have battles with these anti-Christ philosophies and these anti-Christ ways of life. Listen to me. We are never to condone and support them. We are to stand upon what the Bible says to stand upon. And as we stand upon that, and as we keep the faith that God has given to us, the teachings of Christ and our belief in who he is and what we are here to do, listen to me, that will keep us from allowing the world to overcome us, but we will overcome the world. Hezekiah knew that when Sennacherib came. He said, stay focused on the Lord. Don't look to Sennacherib. Don't look to the world. Don't fear him. Don't allow him to discourage you. Stay focused on the God that gave you the land. The world. The flesh. If we look back in our text here this morning, we find that Hezekiah brought that up to them. And he says to Hezekiah says to the people, for with him is an arm of flesh. The flesh, the definition of that flesh, as we study the Bible and it mentions the flesh quite a bit, it's the sin nature of man. The sin nature of man. The sin nature of man will lead to discouragement if we give in to it. Because as Hezekiah says here, you're looking to the 185,000, that is the arm of the flesh. That's mankind. And listen to me, if you just focus on that great army, you focus on that 185,000 soldiers, it will cause you to fear. It will cause you to be discouraged. It will cause you to even allow that to oppress you. if we just stay focused on the flesh and we yield to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which is all connected to the flesh, can I tell you that that's eventually... Now, you might think it's something that's going to bring you peace and joy and happiness, but the flesh will never bring you the peace of God. Yeah. And you yield to that. It'll take you away from the will of God. And it will eventually cause you to look at yourself and because of what you've done and decisions you've made and find yourself discouraged, oppressed because of you, because of what I've done. We overcome the flesh by what Hezekiah said to Judah. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. We overcome the flesh by looking to the Spirit of God that dwells within us. Matter of fact, Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 16. He says this. Let me just read it to you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I love that. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, then you have to turn away from the flesh, the human, the sinful nature of man, and look to the Spirit of God. And yield to the Spirit of God and walk according to the Spirit of God and continue to do what God has established, what's right for us to do. That's exactly what Hezekiah is now, as he's facing this huge army coming against Judah that has devoured every other people, all the other nations around him, already taken Israel into captivity. And this is what Hezekiah stands, and he says, I know this will help us. I know this will strengthen us to be courageous and not be discouraged, not live a life of defeat. We can overcome it by looking to God. Stop focusing so much on the flesh and stay focused on God. Because greater is He who is within us than He that is in the world. And He will give you the victory. And then the last one that we understand for New Testament Christianity, this Sennacherib. There's a Sennacherib of the world, the Sennacherib of the flesh, and there's that of the devil or an evil spirit. That which you can't see. But the voice that will try to control your mind. Now, they will use false words. And they will work on the imagination of the mind. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, this is what Sennacherib was doing to the nation of Judah here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 13, he is sending a message for the nation of Judah to receive this word of Sennacherib. And he says, hath not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon that? Hadn't he already changed up your spiritual lives? And he took them back to where God wanted them to be, but now he's using that. And he says, know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their land out of my hand? A lot of different religions out there. What makes you think yours is different? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my father utterly destroyed, that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand? What makes you think that your belief is superior? Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah, don't listen to that preacher. Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner, neither yet believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of mine hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. Wow. Listen to the world. You listen to the flesh. And ultimately, it's what Satan, the spirit of Satan, will work through to blind you to truth, to get you to doubt the existence of God, to doubt the validity of the Bible, to get you to doubt taking and believing what God has given to us. Listen to me. Let me make this statement. Our thoughts will place us in a state of mind. Depression, discouragement, fear, it's a state of mind. Our thoughts will place us in a state of mind. Our state of mind will determine our peace and joy. The mind is a battleground for all spiritual activity. I believe that the old devil has access to plant thoughts. And he's able to work through the imagination of the mind. And those thoughts planted many times get you to go so far in the wrong direction in your thinking. And we've gone so far in a wrong direction with our thinking. Listen to me, it's a state of mind that leads to discouragement. It's a state of mind that leads to fear. It's a state of mind that leads to depression. We need to get back to simply what Hezekiah did, what Jesus Christ has done, what the New Testament scriptures teach us to overcome the Sennacherib's in our lives. We must develop a higher view of God. We must be able to see God so much greater than anything that we would have to come up against. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. And when you have a better understanding of the Lord our God, and you have a higher view of who he is, can I tell you, it'll cause you to have a rest. The Bible says, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Peace of mind is a state of mind. A comfort is a state of mind. that's available to all of us. As we face the Sennacheribs of our life, whether it be the world, just everything about the world, living in the world, my goodness, it can be very depressing, especially if you've been watching CNN and all the different things taking place with the politicians, and now we're thinking about, you know, impeaching a president and trying to figure out what's going to happen, who's going to take all the different things, the world, all these things. Boy, that could bring discouragement. Until you look and understand that ultimately God's in control. God, nothing's going to happen outside of God allowing it. If he allows it, he's got a purpose for it. We just are his people. We need to stay focused on him and his word and faith in that, because it's the faith that helps us to overcome the discouragements and the oppressions and the fears. And it's faith in him that brings us calmness and rest and a peace that passeth all understanding. Do you have it? Do you have it? Are you allowing the Sennacheribs to take it away? I trust if you don't have it, that you'll receive it today. Put your faith and trust in God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. We have a lot of things in our lives today that the old devil would love to use against us. It's not God's will for any of us to live a life of discouragement. No matter what your circumstances of life, no matter what you're faced with, listen to me. God is able to give you a rest. God is able to give you a peace. God is able to help us in our time of need. And he will. He will. If you elevate your view of God. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. As even we studied the life of Judah and Israel, and we understand all that's taken place there, we learn these biblical principles that are revealed to us in New Testament Christianity and the teachings of Christ. And I pray, God, that we would learn to just rejoice in the Lord, that we would learn to be thankful and to give thanks in all things, that we would understand, God, as long as we look to Christ, we can do all things and live a life of joy and rejoicing. Bless now this invitation. I pray, God, that if there's those that need to make decisions, that they would make that decision right now before it's too late. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.